This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk, everyone, here at the Treasure Chest Casino. We are inside the Game Bar and Grill hanging out till 7 o'clock, and that's when Thursday Night Football comes on. You can watch it here at the casino, make a bet on the game, enjoy some good grub. We also have it on WWL, AM, FM, and .com for you. A big match, NFC East matchup, Philadelphia Eagles hosting the Washington Commanders.
I know who you're pulling for. Them.
No, no doubt at all.
I know that, but, man, they're going up against Jaden. Now, the Commanders are sort of beat up physically. They got some injuries there, but Jaden sort of tilts the field when he's out there. He's unique. We saw it last year with C.J. Stroud. He didn't play like a rookie quarterback. Jaden's not playing like a rookie quarterback. I mean, it's spectacular to watch. It's almost like you're watching him at LSU.
Yeah, you thought there'd be the growing pains there, but obviously – he's still finding his way, but doesn't look like the game is definitely too big for him. It's pretty amazing that you see both back-to-back years now. The number two pick in the draft at quarterback is having more success than number one.
Number ones are struggling.
Right.
You're talking about how Bobby called him Little Bryce.
Little Bryce.
And, man, Caleb Williams. Oh, my goodness. You can't keep the ball in your hands that long. You got to get rid of it. Because you're going to get beat up and bad in this league if you hold a football that long. That's why you got all those sacks already. Now, offensive line is lousy, but, man, he's not reading the field. You can see he's not figuring out where to go with the football. He can't find the right guy, and he's holding on to it, and he's getting hit. He's getting racked. And this league, man, they bust you up pretty good.
And obviously it seemed like he was set up for success with the wide receivers they brought in. Obviously have DJ Moore over there, and also they brought in Keenan Allen, yeah. Drafted Roma Dunze, yeah. But not really having much
Cole
success.
Cole Maquette.
Right.
A tight end. Man, it's set up.
Their defense is legit at least, but.
Yeah, and they rode a little bit of the roller coaster early on. I told this to Bob when that happened. When Jaden threw that touchdown pass on the final play, man, that has a way of getting into your head and you can't get it out. It's a mental thing right now with the Bears. It really is. And that one play, I think, will catapult the Commanders. I think they're a legitimate playoff team. And I think you're seeing the downfall here. Eberflus, he ain't going to survive. He's not going to survive this.
Yeah, you guys always talk about it all the time with the job openings, at least 6 to 7 in the NFL each year, and it seems like Eberflus is going to be one of them.
Oh, yeah. I would have my money on that one at this stage.
I've been wondering about in Cincinnati, how much longer are they going to stick with Zach Taylor?
Well, Mike Brown, he don't like to spend his money on coaches that's not coaching. So he might give him another year. He might give him another year. Again, the Brown family sort of tight with that money.
Right.
And listen, nothing against that, but, man, it isn't working for them on defense. And they're getting Joe Burrow beat up bad.
You wonder
how long he's going to be able to last in this league. But their defense is so sorry, other than Trey Hendrickson. Man, everybody else, they've given up chunk yardage every game. So I think Zach is a 50-50 right now. The guy that might save him is Joe.
Right.
Because Joe can win you some games.
Joe and Jamar.
Yeah, Joe and Jamar can win those games. And next year, you're not going to have T. Higgins. You don't have Jamar signed. And I would have cut that deal now because I think it's going to cost you more in the offseason.
Right.
I don't know why they sort of tapped the brake on that. The price is not going to go down. It's going to continue to go up for that wide receiver market, and I would have done it already with Jamar.
Yeah, he's definitely, as you would say, elite in the NFL.
He is elite. He is definitely that.
Great of pride.
And, oh, yeah, he's that too. Now, to think that him and Jefferson on that same LSU team.
Still unbelievable. It's a whole dream that entire season with Coach O.
When Jamar's going to sign the next that big contract, and I got told this by Coach O because his agent told him that it would take that 2019 group that went into the NFL. They'll be the first team to ever make $1 billion.
Wow.
When you tag up everybody that has signed and what they made in the NFL is going to take them over the $1 billion mark. That's never happened before.
Obviously, with LSU, Mike, we've seen Saban win a national championship. Les Miles even got a national title.
Coach O.
We talked about Coach O. Can Brian Kelly get the job done? Right now, he doesn't seem to be bringing in enough talent, though, to the Tigers.
Okay, that's Brian's fault.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Come on. You 3 years in, this is your team.
Your team, exactly.
You can't look in the mirror and say it's somebody else's fault. It's yours. I think the early missteps in the transfer portal did him in. Because you look at that defense.
Being stubborn about it.
And other than Braden Swinson this year, he's an Oregon guy. Now he's from Georgia, went to Oregon, and then transferred. Name me another guy on defense that they signed in transfer portal that has really done much. David Short.
Crickets, right.
That list is really short. When you look at this roster today, it is really short. And other than you see Jaden Daniels, I mean, he was a transfer portal guy, but they missed early on. They really did with some of the – and he has admitted that, whenever you kind of get him one-on-one, he's admitted that that was a whiffs on his part. But, again, he's got a 7-year contract worth, $10 million a year for people saying they're going to get rid of him. You can forget that idea. He's staying here because I had somebody text me yesterday, Mike, what if he loses the last 3 games? He's coaching in LSU in 2025. Yeah, that's it's too much – I think knee-jerk reaction to those sort of deals. Oh, fire the coach right now.
Yeah.
I
just hate hearing from him, too, when he goes about, we're still trying to get that 10-win season. That means something.
He sounded like Les Miles.
I was going to say, to who?
Les used to say the same thing. It almost like he stole his speech.
Well, hopefully he doesn't steal the outcomes much longer because I know LSU Nation's been struggling, especially last year, just the talent you had, obviously, with a Jaden Daniels, too, just wasted.
Yeah, and the way they've been gashed for a game and a half defensively, they have not been able to stop that option, that read option, and the quarterbacks. If I was Jalen Milroe and they're going to put me in college football's Hall of Fame and they say, what do you want us to play?
LSU highlights.
Give me them 2 games y'all played against LSU.
Oof, right. It was unbelievable, for sure. Helps boost his draft stock if it needed any.
Yeah, and he's a good dude, too. Man, he works hard. The story is not kind of secret today. And Pete Jenkins actually told me that Nick Saban would tell him, he would sometimes beat me to the building, watching film, trying to get better. And he puts a lot of work into it. So if you're going to spend money on a player, don't you want that guy?
Right.
Now, athletically, he's off the charts. Now, he needs work with his body balance control on his throws. He's better on the deeper throw than he is on the shorter ones. So that's something he's going to have to work on at the NFL level. But athletically, he is something special.
Right.
He is something. Man, you just saw him. He did like Jaden did against Alabama. He outran the Alabama secondary. You saw Milroe. He outran the LSU secondary. That was nobody close to him.
No, you see that green pasture ahead of you, and it's not good.
Yeah, and again, he's an infectious, so to speak, personality, a very emotional guy, and a great leader on the field. And I say this, people ask me, oh, I heard Bill Belichick was at Manning camp. I said, yeah, he was. Who he spent the most time with, I can tell you, Jalen Milroe.
Really, huh?
He kind of followed him around. When he went from one section to the next, Bill followed.
We got another quarterback coming in that's questionable with what he's done in his career, and definitely brings a lot of personality to the game. And Jameis Winston with the Browns, we'll be getting more of that with Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com. But obviously, his penchant for throwing interceptions is big, Mike. And obviously, I think the Saints, in order to come away with a victory, are going to need to take advantage of those turnovers this game.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, the book is written on players. You know what they can do well and what they can't do. And, man, Jameis, at times you say, wow, look at that throw. Look at that throw. And then he puts up one. Man, what
were you doing?
It was one of them deals. But, you know, it was like that at Tampa.
Yeah.
And when he was with the Saints, it was like it. Why did anybody think it was going to be different in Cleveland? You're going to get the same thing. But when he's hot, man, he can rip you up a new one because he is that talented a passer.
I love yesterday in the locker room, Tyrann Mathieu was being interviewed and says, I bet you Jameis, one of the first things he's going to say is point to me and say, I'm coming at you. And he laughed. He's like, go ahead, throw it to me.
And he might.
We're taking a break. We'll get more into the Browns right after the break with Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com. Coming back here at the Treasure Chest Casino Sports Talk right after this.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Obviously, one of the big games we care about, the Saints hosting the Cleveland Browns. To help us break it down, Mary Kay Cabot, the Browns beat writer for Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer, also an analyst for WKYC-TV in Cleveland. Mary, how you been? Thanks for the time.
Oh, I've been great. How about you guys?
We're doing awesome. I'm finally happy to get back in the win column over here, and looking forward to the dome coming of Jameis Winston. What's been his attitude and feeling talking about facing his old team, the Saints, again on Sunday?
Oh, he's been great talking about the Saints and the memories that he has from there. I wrote a whole story about it just today, actually. And one of his biggest takeaways is he just talks about how he became a better quarterback in the 1 year that he spent with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. He just learned so much from Drew about how to prepare, how to watch film, how not to make the bad play. And he really just counts that as one of his most formative years in the NFL.
Mary Kay, I got to tell you something before I ask you a question. I look at two or three beat writers every week because I learn something from them, and you're one of them. You do a fantastic job covering the Browns in the NFL. So I just wanted to tell you that before I asked the question. The thought with Nick Chubb here, man, all of us watched him, and he was an elite running back in this league. He made a remarkable comeback from that knee injury. But how close is he to being the same guy? And I know it's early with him, and he probably never will be the same type runner, but he was really good, really at the top level of running backs in the NFL before the injury.
Well, first, let me say thank you for the compliment. That was really nice of you, and I greatly appreciate it. And second of all, as far as Nick Chubb is concerned, it's remarkable that he is even out there in the first place. To know what he has gone through, two major reconstructions of this very same knee. When I saw him go down with that last year, I really questioned whether or not he would play football again. But lo and behold, it's Nick Chubb. He's a superhero. He's sort of a freak of nature, and here he is back on the field. And you're right, he is not the Nick Chubb that left the field before the injury, but here he is only three games in, out there plugging away at it, and that is just almost hard to believe. So we'll see. Usually guys that have major reconstructions like that aren't their total selves until another year after that, and maybe even another year after that. So I think there's more to come from Nick Chubb. And, of course, anybody who knows him is pulling for him to get back to that elite level.
It was unbelievable, too, at Georgia. I got to cover him there and scout him when he was there. And him and Sony Michel in the same backfield was like, whoa, how could you lose any games? But they lost a few when he was there. David Njoku, I look at that matchup. The Saints have had a lot of difficulties, Mary Kay, matching up against athletic big tight ends. And now David's here, they facing. I would think for Jameis Winston, he sort of knows that they've had trouble the last 2 years matching up, and that may be his go-to guy this coming Sunday.
Well, it could be. They have a nice connection, and David is quite a threat. He's big, he's tough, he's physical, he's tall. And so Jameis can throw it up to him, and he will. They'll take some explosive shots, especially against the 29th ranked pass defense in the NFL. So I would look for Jameis to try to get it to David as much as possible.
One of the things, too, the matchups, we were talking about it early in the show, that Trevor Penning, the Saints' right tackle, he looked to be almost a complete bust last year. And then, you know, he's had injuries, everything else. And he's played better this year, and so I'll give him credit. But look who he goes up against this week. And sort of tell us about the 2024 version of Myles Garrett, who I think he's one of the elite defensive players in pro football.
Well, you know, you just can't put one guy on him. The Chargers tried to do that, and Myles got three sacks in four plays. Three sacks in four plays. And that was remarkable. And then they realized, oh, geez, we've got to do something about this. We have to double him or triple him or chip him or whatever we have to do, like all other teams do. I don't know why they thought they could get away with not doing that, but they found out the hard way that that's the danger zone. So he's been tremendous. And once again, he's coming off of a three-sack game. And Derek Carr is going to have to get rid of the ball very, very quickly. That is the name of the game when you play against Myles Garrett.
Has their secondary, because, you know, we know a couple of them here because they were at LSU, Grant Delpit in particular, is that really the strength of their defense in the secondary, you know, other than Myles being able to come off the edge?
Well, yeah, they have a very strong secondary, but one thing that's happening in their secondary right now is that they have not gotten an interception all season. Now, while the Saints are fourth in the NFL, with 12 interceptions, the Browns defensive backs have none, not even one. They're tied for last in the NFL with only one interception this season, and that's from a linebacker, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. So even though they have made some good plays, they've gotten some breakups. Denzel Ward leads the NFL with 14 pass breakups. They just haven't been able to grab those interceptions, and I know they will be trying to do that in this game.
Does it look to you like what we see from afar? In my 30-something years covering this league, I can't remember a guy that has took that hard of a tumble. And it's not – I don't think totally, certainly injury-related. And what's happened to Deshaun Watson?
Well, a lot of it is injury-related because you look back to last season and he may have – suffered a more serious shoulder injury in week three than they thought at the time. So he had a strained rotator cuff in week three, and then he was never the same after that, and then he ends up being lost for the season with a fractured shoulder. So last year was a complete wash. Then he comes back this year, and the offense was just off to an absolutely horrible start for a lot of different reasons. It wasn't just Deshaun. It was so many different things. Offensive line injuries, Amari Cooper not playing like himself before he was traded, David Njoku being out 3 weeks and most of a fourth week with a high ankle sprain. And it just was a bad situation for anybody to be in. And Deshaun, he was starting to play better, and then he ruptured the Achilles. So who knows what the future holds, but, I mean, that could have been the end of him in Cleveland.
Mary Kay, curious to your opinion. What's going on with the dog pound over there? I know that fans have been suffering for a long time, but, you know, the latest now with Deshaun Watson and that contract, how are they feeling?
Well, it's been a very, very stressful year for Browns fans. This was supposed to be a season in which this football team not only made the playoffs, but went deep into the playoffs this year. They've got all these Pro Bowl players. Deshaun was going to be coming back from his injury, and hopes were very high. So it really has been a very, very disappointing season for Browns fans. But I will tell you what, I'm sure I'm going to see plenty of them wandering around on Bourbon Street on Saturday night.
On that too, how safe is Kevin Stefanski there in Cleveland, you know, with Jimmy Haslam as the owner there? I know I've heard a couple people say I would keep an eye out on what happens in Cleveland depending on how the season kind of goes by. Do you look at it that he's in any danger possibly of losing his job after last year getting him into the playoffs with Joe Flacco?
You know, I don't really know, to be honest with you. We asked Andrew Berry about that last week when we had a press conference here with the GM during the bye week, and he raved about Kevin Stefanski and basically said that he is definitely going to be part of the solution to this whole thing going forward. So at this point, I would say that he is safe, but then again, you never really know. So we don't know what the owner is thinking. I was standing not too far away from him at practice today. He obviously doesn't look very happy right now, but I don't know what that means in terms of his plans or his thinking.
The new stadium that is going to be built, kind of give everybody a little update on that, because certainly some controversy involved.
Yeah, we don't know exactly where that's going yet. The Haslams have the option to purchase land out here by the airport in a suburb called Brook Park, and that would obviously take the Browns out of downtown Cleveland. So that's the part that makes it controversial. Obviously, they've been an institution down there for all of these years. So there's a little bit of pushback on that part of it. The city is not making it easy on them. The city would like them to consider some land near an airport downtown. So it's still a little bit up in the air where this is going, but I think the Haslams at this point are still pretty committed to that plot of land in Brook Park.
When you look at this matchup Sunday against the Saints, Mary Kay, who's maybe a player or two that we haven't talked about, some of the bigger names that could be making an impact that we're not talking about that could be game wreckers against the Saints?
Well, I would say that Jerry Jeudy is somebody that could come up big in this game. Maybe even Cedric Tillman from a receiver standpoint. We've already talked about David Njoku. And another player I think to watch a little bit here would be Jerome Ford. I think they will probably do a little bit more of a 1-2 punch at running back, take a little heat off of Nick's legs a little bit and give him a chance to stay fresh for the fourth quarter. So Jerome Ford is coming off of a hamstring injury, but I think he'll get some more carries in this game.
Jedrick Willis, scouting him when he came out of University of Alabama. I wondered how well he could pass block. He was a really good run blocker for the Crimson Tide. He was awkward as a pass protector there. Now, he got away with it because he was bigger and stronger than most guys. His development there, it doesn't seem to be that he's one of these guys trending up.
Well, you know, he was demoted at his left tackle spot, so he is no longer playing left tackle. DeJuan Jones, the fourth-round pick last year out of Ohio State, has replaced him at left tackle for now. So he probably won't even get in the game on Sunday, and, you know, this might mean that he could be done as a Cleveland Brown.
Looking at that offensive line, too, I know back-to-back days of limited practice for guard Joel Bitonio with a pectoral issue. How is he, you feel, shaping up for Sunday, his status?
Well, Joel is one of those guys that plays hurt. He's a warrior. He doesn't come out of games, and he plays even when he probably shouldn't sometimes. So I'm guessing that he will play. He'll be Joel, and he'll fight through the pain, and he'll be out there doing the best he can.
Always appreciate the time, Mary Kay. Thank you so much, and hope to be seeing you in the Superdome on Sunday.
I'll be there.
Thank you, Mary Kay.
That was Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Cleveland Browns for the Cleveland.com and also does some TV work down there in Cleveland. Man, Mike, I was out there in that freezing game. That was my final year on the sideline. And I got to thank the Saints training staff, the equipment staff, I should say. I was covered head to toe. There was no skin. Obviously, I hadn't even had a mask on with that freezing temperatures out there. And the worst part was actually my toes, even though I had those warmers in my shoes. But that, other than that, my body was all right. Just my feet were freezing.
Saints looked like they were the cold weather team, and the Browns didn't.
For sure, it made no sense that game why they got away from the run.
I didn't quite understand that because, man, you were gashing them for a while.
What's an interesting connection, too, who was the defensive coordinator for the Browns then?
Joe Woods.
Right. So a lot of crosses, you know, interesting ties here with this game from Jameis Winston. You even mentioned Grant Delp, but there's a few other LSU players on there as well. So it's going to be a fun one, I think, Sunday, even though these teams have not had success in the win column.
One of the things, if you go to an LSU game and you're in the press box, there's a Cleveland Browns scout there every time.
Wow, okay.
Every time. He's there.
We are taking a break here at the Treasure Chest Casino on Sports Talk. Be right back after this, so stay tuned on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, we're just talking with Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com about the Brown matchup. And, Mike, you mentioned a guy in Grant Delpit. Was it now year three for him in the NFL? How do you feel like he's progressing in the game?
Yeah, he got hurt early on, but he's always a center fielder. I mean, he loves to roam that area.
No aggressive dude.
Yeah, he's pretty good with the hit. Now, sometimes he's looking for the knockout shot instead of the open field tackle. But Grant's been a good football player. He really is. And he was at LSU. And I know Coach O and the staff there, Dave Aranda, they always praised him for his work ethic and his focus and his ability to make a big play. Against the run and against the pass. But he is a center fielder. That's where he likes to play and sort of roam. That's why I asked Mary Kay about Jedrick Willis. He was a guy who was an early first-round pick. And look what happened at the tackle spot. They thought
sometimes
could solidify that left tackle position for the next 12 years and didn't make it. But in watching him, that's what I was telling. He was a great run blocker at Alabama, really was, and he was a wide body guy. But he was always awkward in pass protection. And, you know, he would kind of steer you. If you get around him, he'd sort of steer you. And you're not going to get away with that in the NFL because you know why? I'm going to cut you to the inside and I'm going to beat you. And that's what happened to him. And now he got beat up by a fourth-round pick and a dude that's huge from Ohio State. Man, at one time, and he admitted it, he was 380 pounds. Now, he's got some of that weight off of him, but it goes to show you, and a lot of people, oh, it's the Saints. Not all the time. It happens all across the league.
Right.
But Jedrick Willis was a guy that I think they rolled it that particular year because he was not ready for prime time as a pass protector. And I would have never kept him at left tackle. I'd have put him on the right side, but they might have put their best pass rusher over there too. But again, it just goes to show you that, you know, Mary Kay is saying that he may have played his last game.
Right, that was definitely an eye-opener right there.
Whoa. And so that goes to show you a top 10 pick, early first-round pick, left tackle.
Right, like you said, it just ain't the Saints, folks.
Nope, just ain't them.
You look at it with this game in that offensive line against the black and gold. I thought the pass rush, you know, picked up last week and was able to apply some pressure. Hopefully they can do the same against Jameis Winston because I don't think this O-line for the Browns is very good, unlike the defensive side.
They were at one time.
Right.
But, man, they've had a ton of injuries. Joe, if he can play, I mean, I think he's a really good player, really, really, really good.
Like Mary Kay said, he's a warrior. He's going to fight through it, even though pectoral issues rough for an old lineman.
Yeah, and he's a blue-collar guy, and he fights you to the death. He's one of those type of guys. No, you're in for a long day when you go head up against Joe. So, but it hasn't been the same, and their offense has changed. They were a run-oriented team. Built around Nick Chubb.
Right.
And then once Nick went down, then they had to build it around the passing game. And you had at that one point, Amari Cooper was there. You had Jerry Jeudy. And, you know, Njoku is such a big target for you at tight end. They've become now a little bit more of a passing team. They've kind of had to swing because of the fact you don't have – I mean, listen – that wasn't many guys that could play like Nick Chubb could.
Right.
And yeah, he was definitely one of the top two backs in the National Football League before he went down with that knee injury. And they're fast on defense. That's the other thing. They've given up some big plays, but they are really fast at the football. So with that, I would try to run a couple of screens, misdirection plays, because, you know, once you kind of swing one way, if you can catch that back on the other, you might have some openings.
Getting ready for Thursday night football in Philadelphia. We got the Eagles taking on the Commanders coming up at 7. Be right back with more Sports Talk from the Treasure Chest Casino as we wrap things up right after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, I want to remind Tiger fans, Saturday LSU's taking on the Gators in Florida. Kickoff is at 2:30, but our coverage starts 10 o'clock with Mike Dettillier, Herb Tyler. Doors open at 11 o'clock at Acme Hoister House in Baton Rouge for the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show presented by Map Construction. Always a great time with Mike and Herb. Acme's got 16 surround sound TVs, great drink specials, plus life's more fun with seafood. Catch LSU's pregame coverage at 12:30 with Chris Blair, and then kickoff with him and Jacob Hester 2:30. Tigers and Gators Saturday on WWL and the Odyssey app. Mentioned to you during the break, Mike, seeing that on the coaches show in Florida, Billy Napier saying QB DJ Lagway will be back for the game, and so will wide receiver Elijah Badger. No, definitely no surprise on Lagway. I figured he'd be playing here.
Yeah, and Hodges is the star linebacker.
Right.
He's not playing. But DJ gives him a shot, and he's really a pocket quarterback when you watch him. He's not a guy that's going
to
run all around. But, no, he can take off and run with it, but that's not his style. He likes to stay in the pocket and throw the football. Now, I would tell him, hey, look what Reed did. Look what Milroe did. If you get an opportunity, just take off, run with it.
Right.
Because they're going to give you those lanes. But, man, their defense is sorry. Oh, Lord. They can't stop the run. They play off coverage. And man, if I was Garrett Nussmeier, that's what you want to play against me?
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to throw that little short stuff.
He needs a get-right game. It's been rough for him the last few outings.
It's rough because you can't run the ball. Alabama gave you opportunities to throw to the wide receivers downfield. But because you can't run the ball, I can bring the safeties and kind of double team. Again, their inability to run the football has been a dagger to the heart for them this year, LSU offensively. And to stop the run. So they can't run it and can't stop it. You got difficulties there. Hopefully, it's a get-right game against the Gators.
Right. I want to thank everybody here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Always great hospitality, good times. And the casino is a rockin'. Plus,
come to the game.
Thursday Night Football coming on here at the Game Bar and Grill. Plus, right next door to us is the sports book where you can make your wagers for this game or any of the action this weekend. Steve Geller and Mike Dettillier and Charlie Long back in studio. Appreciate everybody. Have a great night, everybody.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.